we always want to make sure that we're doing things correctly. One thing we don't want to be is a reproach to the kingdom of God. And if they ever come in and audit us, we want to make sure that we are audible. That we have obeyed the laws of the land. And that's what Joe's here doing, is making sure that we're doing it correctly. And I've got two or three things that I kind of wanted to share this morning. I'm going to stick to one. And then I want to first of all mention, before I enter into what I want to say this morning, what I sense to say, is I want to mention that the reason and the one of the ways that we war, one of the ways that we war is in praise. We all know the passage is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat went out with the praise, and they went forth and the enemy was put into confusion and ambushment. And we all know that passage of Scripture. What happens when you come into praise is it's much like when we come into corporate prayer. Everybody's saying the same thing at the same time, and those words just releasing and activating angels, activating things in the realm of the Spirit that are coming against principalities and powers. And when we enter into praise, that's why praise is so powerful. And that's why it's so necessary that we come into praise with exuberance and with a fervency and come against it in a warfare mentality. Praise is to go forth and to conquer the enemy. You remember that when Israel come out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and they got on the other side, Miriam began to dance with the tambourines, and the ladies began to dance around, and they began to sing the song of Moses. And it says that our Lord is a warrior. Our Lord is a warring God. And we need to understand that. And when we come into praise and worship, you're coming against principalities and powers. Amen? You're not singing to get goosebumps. We don't sing and praise God so we'll feel good. We'll sing and praise God because principalities and powers need to be brought down. In your life, in your home, your family, in your church, and in this city, in your area, wherever that you're from, principalities and powers need to come down. And that's why we're exhorted to praise God. We're exhorted to sing the Psalms because all the Psalms are written about warfare. Written about man's relationship to God and how we come into war. And our God is a warring God. Do you know that? Amen. Amen. I want to talk today. One more thing before I start. The 21st of this month, that wall is coming down. All right? Now, I need you to go ahead and make plans. This week, this coming week, we're going on winter youth camp. We're going to Gatlinburg. Now, it's that wall ago. We need the money today. But we're going to the camp. And so it's not coming down this week, but next week we'll be coming down. That wall will be coming down that Monday. I need everybody that can, men, women, children. You can carry nails or something. You can carry something and put it on the truck if you can't carpenter work. I need you to be here, especially those first two nights, so that we can get that down and get this up. This has got to get up, and that's got to get down because they're going to start putting the carpet down Wednesday. All right? We got to get here. We got to be here. We got to get these things done. So I need you to be here. I need you to be here, please, and help us accomplish this thing. And then the rest of the week is going to be spent getting everything set up, the sound system, the lights, and everything. The rest of the week is going to be in preparation for that Sunday service. Hopefully, hear me right, hopefully we'll baptize Barry that Sunday night. Hopefully, okay? That's our target. That's our target. That's what we want to do. And anybody else that wants to be water baptized, well, hopefully that night we can do it. We put it off long enough because we've had the baptismal pool hidden under that platform back there. But it will be revealed that Monday. If you need water baptism, we're shooting for that night. Okay. Let's pray. Stretch your hands out to me, please, and pray for me. Father, I ask you right now for the prayers of the saints. Father, I ask an anointing upon my life, Lord, that this vessel can be a vessel of honor. And the things that you've poured in and given me so liberally, Lord, I pray I can pour out now. And they can bless people. And Father, the Word of God can be sown in our hearts. Now put your hand on your heart. And as we pray for you, Father, we just bless the people now. Father, I pray that the Word of God will find good soil. And Father, that the seed of God will fall into their hearts and produce 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Lord, we anoint our ears. We anoint our hearts that the Lord God can come forth from our mouth. And we'll be fruitful. And we'll be spiritual. In the name of Jesus, we ask it and we all say, amen. Amen. So good to see all of you. So good to see you. I'm glad you're here with us today. Hope you enjoy yourself and hope you enjoyed the praise and the worship. I want to talk today about how we are renewed in our mind. We've talked about this. This will actually be the fifth message that we've talked about how to be renewed in our mind. If you're like me, you've come up through Christianity, and you've always been told that you need to be renewed in your mind, but nobody's ever told you how to be renewed in your mind. And you walk through, and you struggle, and you say, Lord, help me understand how to be renewed in my mind. Well, that's what this particular message and series of messages is really concerning, is how to be renewed in our mind. And this will be the fifth one. I'm not going to recap, just going to say some things. And I wish, Steve, if you and maybe Lance would get my board for me and bring it over here. But I want to open it up in Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to look at Ezekiel 36 and read a passage that we've already read. And I want us to understand first and foremost what God does in our life as we are born again. And then what our part is to do in our life as we walk in the realm of the Spirit. As we walk with God, as we walk in Christ Jesus, what we're supposed to do. First thing we've got to understand is what He has already done in our life. We don't need to be redoing what He's already done. But we do need to be doing the things that we need to do in our life. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what this is about. How do you get renewed in your mind? How do you get the mind? He's given us the mind of Christ. Now, how do we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus? That's what we're talking about. How do we activate the things of God that are in our life? In Ezekiel chapter 36, we've talked about this. Beginning at verse 24, we've read this. And I just want to really pull out one particular thought here. And he talks about the things that He will do. What He does is He causes us to be born again. He says, verse 44, for I will take you from the nations. And that's what He does. Verse 25 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you. He washes us by the water of the Word and the waters of baptism. And then the third thing He does, moreover, I will give you, verse 26, I will give you a new heart. Now, does God give us a new heart? Now, that's what we've got to understand. That's really the thing that I want to just bring out of this passage of Scripture, is that God gives us a new heart. We've heard people say all of our life, well, I had it in my mind, but it hadn't got to my heart yet. That's completely reversed of what the Bible truly teaches us. What truly happens is that we have it in our heart, it hadn't got to our mind yet. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, He says that you are now living epistles. Why? Because He's written His laws where? On our heart. See, it's there. It's in our heart. But something awful happens as it travels through our mind. As it comes out of our mouth and it comes out of our life, something's wrong. Something desperately bad happens and takes place. And that's what we're talking about here, is getting this thing right, understanding that God has already fixed our heart. The New Testament says it like this. Paul says, and you are a Jew, or you are really of Israel, if you are of the circumcision, and God has circumcised your heart. It's not a circumcision of the flesh. It's a spiritual circumcision of the heart. In other words, He's given us a heart that He can now deal with. So we have this principle. In our heart comes out, in Proverbs chapter 4, the issues of life. How many remember that passage? We're not going to turn to it. But Proverbs chapter 4 says that the issues of life come from where? The heart. NASV says the springs of life. They come out of the heart. Out of your heart comes these springs, these issues of life. They all come forth. Now let's list some issues of life so we'll really know what we're talking about here. Do you feel like that your marriage is an issue of life? Hello? Luke made his entrance. Huh? How many realize that your marriage really is an issue of life? And if your marriage is functioning properly, you have a much better relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A much better relationship with everything. How about your children? Are your children an issue of life? Okay. How about your church? How about, we pray today about the world, the condition of the world, about to go at war and all these things. Is the world's systems an issue of life that we need to know and understand how to pray about, how to minister to those things that are issues of life concerning the world systems? Okay. How about your workplace? Do you spend a lot of time at work? Then it isn't an issue of life. Sure it is. These things are issues of life, and we could list many more, and you can have some that you list. And as they come out of the epistle that God has written on our heart, as these issues come forth, they come forth pure. And I gave you the illustration that this is an artesian well. It says as a spring that comes forth out of a mountain, and it comes out of there pure, and it comes forth clean. And as it comes down that mountain, or as it comes out of that artesian well, as it comes forth, it's pure and it's clean. And as it makes its way down into the ocean, as it makes its way along the way, a couple of things can happen to it. It can maintain its purity, and fish and wildlife can enjoy it. It can come into a lake, and the lake can be a productivity place of electricity that can bring light to a lot of people and a lot of area. Or it can progress down that way into the ocean, and it can come past the ways of pollution and defilement. Redox things can be sitting there and be dumping into it and pollute. You know, these kinds of things that can happen to it can happen to it, and it'll come out either with power and life, or it'll come out with death and destruction. And that's what happens is as we have the issues of life that come out of our heart. As they go through our mind, if our mind is renewed, it will be like that power generator. It will bring life and light to an entire area. If the people in this church are renewed in their minds, what will it do to this entire area? It'll bring life and it'll bring light. But if we will not renew our minds, it will be like a polluted place. And what will happen to this entire area? All we do is add pollution to it. And we got to understand that in your life, as these things come through, your mind, if renewed, will bring forth life to your marriage and light and understanding, life to your children, life to your church, life to your workplace, and life to your world. But if your mind is not renewed, then it's the opposite. It becomes a polluted place, and what it brings is death and corruption to your marriage, death and corruption to your children, your church. And how many are understanding now what I've just said? Am I right? Am I correct? Now, as this goes on, the mind then becomes the place that the generation of the power comes forth from. And it flows together into a river. And Jesus said, out of your belly, NASB says, out of your heart shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Rivers of life-giving water. Life-giving spiritual things. If your mind is renewed, then out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So that's what we're talking about. How do we have this renewed mind? What happens as it goes through our mind? Do we think of our marriage the way that God teaches us to, our children? That's what we're talking about. How do we get the mind of Christ, or rather, we've already got the mind of Christ, but how do we let that mind be in us, activated in us, that is also in Christ Jesus? And that's what this lesson is really about. Now, I want to talk about the fifth thing that I think it takes today. The fifth thing that I think it takes today. How do we have our minds renewed? Number five, we must allow the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you believe you need the Holy Spirit? Without the Holy Spirit active in our lives, we'll never have our minds renewed. I want to look at Titus. Tell you what, let's go to Romans first, Romans chapter 12, and then to Titus. There's a point that I need to bring from Romans 12. I believe that Jesus said things about seven times before he felt like there was a real understanding of what he was saying. And I believe that probably that's a principle that we need to understand as preachers and teachers, that we need to say things about seven times before there's a real understanding. I know that some people get upset with me because I recap a lot, but I want to say it because I want it to produce something in your lives. You might get it the first time or the second time. There's other people that don't. And what I want to understand is, and want you to understand, that many times when I say the same things over, it's so that they will take root in people's hearts. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come and many we bow our knee. We come and we confess Him as our Lord. We believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead. Is that how we are saved? That's how we're saved, right? That's what we do. We come and we say, Lord, I don't know what this means. I don't know how this works, but I'm asking You to save me. I'm asking You to take my life and to make it something good. I present myself to You, and I ask You to take me and use me in some way, in some form, and in some fashion. And God does that. He takes us and He makes us into what we're supposed to be. That's the first thing. Without that, you can't come to verse 2. That has to happen first. But then in verse 2, that verse 1 would be what we would call the born-again experience, where God gives us the new heart. Then, in verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Metamorphosed is the word in the Greek. "Be metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And please let me say again and reiterate, the will of God is not in three dimensions. It's not good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God is always good. The will of God is always acceptable. And the will of God is always perfect. When you got the will of God, you'll have all three of those at one time. Now, tell me, according to the Bible that's in your lap, is it the presenting of ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God? Is it our initial experience with God, our born-again experience with God, that causes us to be renewed in our minds and be transformed from the world? Or is it the transforming of our minds that causes us to be transformed from the world? Did I say that where you can understand it? Is it the born-again experience that transforms you from the world? What transforms you from the ways of the world? The renewing of your mind. See, that's what the Bible teaches us. Now, without the renewing of your mind, you will never be changed from the world. I can prove this to you because all of us know Christians, people that really love God and are really saved, but have not ever changed the way they think. Do you? They go, they get saved, they serve God 40 years. Well, I say they serve the Lord, they go to church, and they are Christians, and they're saved, and they are born again. But they never are transformed in their thinking. They're never changed from the world. They do things in their marriage. They do things with their children. They do things in their church. They do things at the workplace. They do things in the world the way the world does them. They never are changed from the world. But when you're renewed in your mind, you change from the ways of the world. No longer do you do it the way the world does it, but the way you do it the way that Christ does it, because Christ dwells in you and you have His mind. And that's what we're wanting to see, is that it's the renewing of your mind, it's the renewing of your mind that changes you from the ways of the world. If your marriage is going the way of the world, then your marriage is going to divorce. If your children are being raised in the ways of the world, then your children are in rebellion. If your church is going the ways of the world, you'll have a lackadaisical church. Might have a lot of people, but there'll be no power of spirit there. There'll be nothing changing people's lives. If your workplace, if you're doing the way of the, you'll work everywhere. You won't work as unto the Lord. You'll always be bickering with your boss. You'll always be fighting. How many of those? I'm telling you the truth now. You say, when we're renewed in our mind, things go differently for the Christian. You're blessed. You live a blessed life. You won't ever be renewed in your mind without the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, I want you to look at Titus. I want you to say with me, "I must be renewed in my mind." Say that. I must be renewed in my mind. That is so important. To fulfill the laws of Christ, you've got to have a renewed mind. To live a blessed life, to have blessed marriage, blessed children, blessed church, blessed workplace, blessed whatever that you do, then you need to think the way that Christ thinks and have a renewed mind. And that's what a renewed mind really is. Now, what we're talking about here is we must allow the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to see this in Titus chapter 3. I want to read verse 1 through 7. Paul says here, "Remind them." The King James Bible says, "Put them in mind of." Remind them. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm not teaching you any deep spiritual truths, no deep doctrines of the kingdom of God. I'm just stirring up things that we already know. I want to remind you of some things. I want to put you in the mind of some things. Remind them to be subject to the rulers, to the authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we once were, say I once was, I once was, say it one more time, I once was foolish. Say that. You're not foolish now. Say, I'm not foolish now. I once was foolish. Say, I once was foolish. Paul says there's seven things that we once were. Now, this is the way we should have been, not the way that we should be. This is the way, if you are still this way, then you need to understand that the Holy Spirit needs to be activated in your life. Once was foolish, but now you should be wise. He says that you once was disobedient. How should you be now? Obedient. You once was deceived. How should you be now? Enlightened. Says you once was enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. How should you be now? Free. That's what real liberty is, folks. Not being in bondages to the lust of the flesh. You once was, but now you're not. He gives us seven things. Reading on. He says, one time we spent our life in malice and envy. How should we be now? That's right. Full of love. Right. Encouraging one another in love and good works. Once I was hateful. How many realize that all Christians haven't been delivered from these things yet? Once I was hateful. Also says, once there was a time that we hated one another. See right now, but Jesus says, by this shall men know that you are my disciples. How? By their love, one for another. And now, this is how we once were. But now he says, that's not the way you are. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Would you shout? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! We never yet understood He saved us. We still think that we did it. But He says clearly here, let's read and see if I'm correct. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds. And the King James Bible says, not by our own works of righteousness, but He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by what? The activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I want to hang on, He saved us a minute. If it ever hits us that God loves you and God loves me so much that He saved us, we're going to shout. In fact, stand up and shout. Stand up. Understand God saved you. Hallelujah. You once were here. He translated you here, and now you are saved. Glory to God. Amen. Think about it. You're not going to hell. You are raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, hallelujah. You sit down. I want us to understand, He saved you. And I can't make you shout about that. I'll never get you shouting. He did it. You didn't wake up one day and say, today I'm going to go to church and shake Delbert's hand and get saved. You didn't decide to do it. He decided to do it. From when? The foundations of the world. My goodness. What does that mean? I can have daily deliverance from the activity of the devil in my life. I can plunder the kingdom of darkness. I can live triumphantly in overcoming life. Now, I walk on streets of gold. Because I have already come to Zion, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, with an innumerable company of angels. Joe, I'm not as good as I thought I was. How many has already come to Zion? Amen. To the city of the living God. To an innumerable company of angels. To the blood of Jesus Christ that speaks better than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah! I'm saved! He saved us. But when He saved us, what did He do? It says there He done two things. And they're very related. The first thing that it talks about he did in verse 5 is it says he regenerated. He regenerated us. The word means renovated us. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Who's he working on? I want a place for the habitation of God, he said. Yeah, I'm looking at many mansions, folks. I don't know if you understand that you're a mansion of God. And in you dwells the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. You're saved. Oh, he renovated you, and then it says he renewed you. He renewed you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are becoming new. He's making you a brand new creature, a new creation by the power and by the work of His Holy Spirit. And you need to understand something. Salvation is not just a one time when you come down, sign a membership card, and shake a preacher's hand. Salvation is a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 48. The last verse in Acts chapter 2 says, and the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. Were being. Say, I'm being saved. I was saved. I am being saved. And I shall be saved. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He's the same forever. Amen. I'm telling you, this is the Holy Spirit's activity in our life is what causes us to have a renewed mind. Now, how do you know if you have a renewed mind? How do you know these things? I want to give you two principles of how to know that you have a renewed mind. The first one I want to find in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, turn there. How many knows if you're not saved, you need to be saved? If you're not saved, you're going to have problems in your marriage, you're going to have problems in your children, you're going to have problems in your church, you're going to have problems with your workplace. You have all kinds of problems with the world. But when the operation and the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can overcome everything. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. You shall rule with reign with Christ in every situation with the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, he starts there with the works of the flesh prior to verse 22. Verse 22 and 23, he tells us about the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of God is in your life, this will be what is producing. If the Spirit of God, let me say it differently. The Spirit of God is active in your life. Then these things will be being produced in your life. These fruits. The first thing you'll want to see to know if the Holy Spirit is active in your life is your life being fruitful? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. He said, you don't have to wonder. You'll know if the Holy Spirit is truly there and truly working in their life by their fruit. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The first thing that you will do if the Spirit is active in your life is you will just love people. And what does that mean? We can attach all sorts of definitions to love. But what is love really? Jesus says, by this, they'll know that you're my disciples for your love one for another. In other words, it's just as the way he loved us. Aren't you glad that he didn't say, Steve, before I'll save you, you're going to have to change some things. You're going to have to take a bath. You have to shave that mustache off. Man, see, aren't you glad that, Barry, aren't you glad? Where's Barry? Wait a minute. Aren't you glad, Barry? See, when God, how many knows that God accepted you just like you are? He didn't make you change a thing. And what love really is when we accept people just like they are. It's not trying to change people because that's not our job. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. To renew our minds and change our lives. The first thing that happens in our life with the action of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life, is we'll just love people. Now, I've been your pastor going on 5 years here. And How many of you have ever not liked something that I did? Please don't raise your hand. That would be discouraging. But you accepted me as I was, and I changed in a lot of areas, didn't I? Either I changed or you changed. But we changed, and we changed together because we accepted each other just like we were. And that's what love, first and foremost, is. It's just accepting people. The activity of the Holy Spirit in my life or your life is not seeing, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not seeing any man any longer according to the flesh. But he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile God to man and man to God. Because how many knows if you really look at me long and hard enough, you'll find something that you don't like? Now, how many be honest and say that if I looked at you long enough and hard enough, that I'd probably find something that I didn't like? But you say that doesn't matter because I'd be looking at your flesh. What I need to look at is your spirit and see what God really wants to do in your life and help you and encourage you and reconcile you to God so that you can fulfill your destiny in God. That's what love is. So the first and foremost is love. I can't linger on these, but it's love. The first thing is love. The second thing that's going to happen is what? Joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Folks, we're supposed to be happy. How many of you ever seen Christians that just weren't happy? That the Holy Ghost was not active in their life. There was another spirit. There was a spirit of sadness, a spirit of gloom that had been active in that life, and there was no joy. How about the next one? I don't want to make anybody mad today. The third one is what? Peace. Again, Christians, a lot of Christians don't have peace because the Holy Ghost is not active in their life. They're not allowing their mind to be renewed. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, why does he say that? Because he says you're going to put your foot on the serpent's head when? Shortly, now. You should be walking in heavenly places now. You should be walking above your circumstances now. Knowing that peace is a way of thinking. You're thinking above your circumstances. You're thinking on those things which are above, not on those things that are earthy. And when we do that, we have peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. When the Holy Spirit's active in our life, you'll find somebody that has joy and has peace in their life. What's the fourth one? Patience. We want patience when? Now! How many knows, though, what patience comes by? Tribulation works. Patience. Oh, my. I'm not putting that on you. I break down those words in Jesus' name. I will not put that on you. But I want you to know if you're going to be patient, you're going to go through some things to get to where you understand how God really works in some situations. Everybody go. That's what it works, though. The Holy Spirit's working in your life. He led Jesus into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. And the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into places, you know, and you're going to go through some things, but you're going to learn how to have patience. Let's not stay there, for goodness sake. What's the next one? Kindness. What's the next one? You know, we really need to be kind to people. We really need to be good to people. And as these things are produced in our life, kindness is produced and goodness is produced, and people can just come up to you like an apple tree and pull off some kindness and pull off some goodness, and they'll know that the Holy Ghost is in your life, and no matter what's going on in their life, they can come to you and feed on you. We produce fruits so that people can eat thereof, partake, get something into their life that really works. What's the next one? Faithfulness. Now, in King James Bible says faith there. The real translation is faithfulness. Faith is a gift of God. We're going to read it in a second in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. You'll be faithful in your marriage. You'll be faithful to your children. You'll be faithful to the church. Be faithful at your workplace. Be faithful in understanding how we should be ministering to the things of the world. But faithfulness is something that produces the Holy Spirit as He activates in our life. He just works faithfulness into our life. Faithfulness. And then the next one, gentleness. And the last one, self-control. Those are just works of the Spirit. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I want you to see that if the Holy Spirit is active in your life, then these things will be growing out of you these things will be produced from your life if the Holy Spirit is truly active in your life. And you will know if by looking at these things, is truly God active in my life? Is my mind being renewed? The second thing that we need to understand is from 1 Corinthians. Let's look there in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit. The first thing you'll know if the Holy Spirit is in your life and active in your life, if your mind's being renewed, is by the activity of the Holy Spirit by producing fruits in your life. The second thing, gifts will start coming forth. Gifts will start coming forth. Let's read this passage and then I'll comment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to begin with verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. How many is given? Every man, each one. Are you in each one? That in your life there is a manifestation of the Spirit. If He's active in your life and truly doing something, then these things that are following here are going to come out of your life. The manifestation of the Spirit in an individual's life is producing fruits and gifts. Here we go. Here's what happens. Manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Who's good? Common good. Your good? Common good. Your good? My good? Everybody's good. When I manifest a gift or a fruit, it is not specifically for me as much as it is for others. When I come in here and I function in a gift or I function with a fruit, then it's not for me, it's for you. When you do it, you're doing it for me or for others. But the thing that I'm trying to point out here is that the gifts and the fruit are not selfish. The Adamic nature is I want to take it and I want to eat it. The Spirit of God nature, the Christ nature, the mentality of Christ having your mind, is I want to produce something for the good of all the church, for the good of the people, for the evangelism of the world. That's the difference. And he says here it's for the common good. It's for everybody's good. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through what? The Spirit. And to another, the word of knowledge. How? By the same Spirit. To another, faith. There's faith. By what? The same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing. How? By the same. How many see that the Spirit's activity produces these gifts for the good of the church, for the good of us all? And then you go on down there. There's gifts of healing. And then he picks it up. Verse 10. To another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. Just as who wills? The Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is active in your life, folks, you're going to be ministering to somebody. When we come to this place, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we come to this place, he says, how is it then, brethren? This is how it should be. Each of you should have a gift. Each of you should have a tongue, a prophecy, an interpretation, a revelation, a psalm. Is that what he says? When we come here, we're supposed to be ministering to each other. I don't want to be up here performing. We talk about this regularly, folks. We want the body to function. I have a gift. I give you my gift. You have gifts. You can pray for people. You can prophesy to people. We have times of ministry here where we minister to each other. And I want us to encourage you that if the Holy Ghost is active in this church and active in your life and active in my life, then I'm not going to be the only one ministering. The elders aren't going to be the only ones ministering. Everybody has got something to do. Does your right ear do something? Does your left ear do something? Does your little finger do something? There's nothing on your body that doesn't do something. And that's the way a body is. How do I know? If the Holy Spirit is active in my life and renewing my mind, first of all, there'll be fruits in my life. I'll be producing something that people can come and partake of, eat of, and dine on. Secondly of all, the gifts of the Spirit will be functioning in my life. The Adamic nature won't be active. I won't be selfish with these things. I'll be productive in the kingdom of God, productive to the people of God. I'll be ministering to the people of God. I just want to close now. Talk about some more things. I just really want to close. I want to ask you, how many of you today, truly, truly now, desire the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life? Would you raise your hand if you truly want the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life? Okay, that's just about everybody. You need to evaluate your life. Are there fruits being produced that people can eat of? Are there gifts coming from your life that you can minister to the common, to everybody, for the common good? And you see, I hope, that the ministry or the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life is one of all personal, but also is corporate. First of all, I've got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But if I'm truly having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and He's active in my life, then things are going to come out of me that's going to minister to you. If the Holy Spirit is active in your life, then things are going to come out of you that minister to me and others. And that's what we're talking about, and that's what we really want. Now, you're here today, and if you really desire the release of the Holy Spirit in your life, you understand that this is to minister basically to people and minister in your life and cause you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to renew your mind. There'll be two types of people here. Those who are functioning right now in the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. You know your life is productive and people are coming to you and eating, and you have gifts that you're giving to people. You know that, but you want more. You're not satisfied where you're at. I'm not praying that nobody in here is satisfied where they're at. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want to move on with God. I want more gifts. I want more things that I can minister to the body of Christ. I want a closer relationship personally with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord. Or the second kind of person's here is the kind of person that's never really been activated in fruits or gifts. Maybe you're a baby Christian and you're just a little sapling, just got planted, but you really want to be used of God. Maybe you really want to be come one day a giant fruit tree. Well, you need the activation of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be dug around. You need to be fertilized. You need something manifesting in your life. Maybe you've never been activated in the gifts. You need that. You need the gifts of the Holy Spirit activated in your life. Without the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll never have your mind renewed. It just won't happen. You'll never be regenerated. You'll never have your mind renewed. I want you to stand. Those of you who fit in one of those two categories, and you either want to be more...